football on Off the Ball.
If you want to approach life well, with hunger, with an intellectual curiosity, be Martin O'Neill.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
How's it going? And you're very welcome along to the football pod with Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, and Tommy Rooney. Boys, we keeping good?
We're great,
all
Tom.
All good.
Yeah. How are you?
Very well. Yeah, very well. I picked the wrong day to take off work on Saturday. Ended up missing Congress. A lot of news stories coming out of it. I was in a pub in Limerick and didn't see my phone, so I missed all the news that was happening around the world. We had a team bonding session on Saturday morning.
Very nice.
Saturday morning.
Like a World Cup of paddle for 3 hours. Great crack. And then we had a couple of pints afterwards. It was all quiet. I was in bed by Limerick City,
or whereabouts, Reese?
In Limerick City, yeah. Charlie Malone's, nice. If anyone knows it. Paddy Kelly looked after us. So, yeah, we had a good crack. And our league is starting on Friday night, so we're all looking forward to that.
How would you get on the paddle?
We won the Laurie Maher. We won the Shield final, myself and the young Deagle. So we got knocked out in the main competition.
How many competitions were
we had two. We had the main.
Like two teams left come the Shield.
No.
Are you a paddler, Jimmy? Are you both paddlers?
No, but I played a paddle once in Portugal. It's a great game.
It's good fun.
I've never played. Everyone loves it. If you play it, it seems to be a bit of a cult. I still have not made my debut on it.
It's very good.
It's good fun. They have a great setup in Limerick. At the back of one of the industrial estates out in Castletroy. I think it was Castletroy anyway. We were bussed in and bussed out, but...
Jeez.
Yeah,
you were after a few pints, but you don't even know where you were.
Well, I was in...
Just one or two drinks.
I was...
I think we were in Limerick, somewhere on that area. Do you know this fella's getting their own personalised paddle rackets and everything?
Oh, yeah? But it's a big...
People get caught up in it, lads.
It's a big trend, boys.
Golf. People get completely carried away with golf. Golf is their life savings, isn't it?
Golf is different.
Well, geez, Tommy, you looked fairly fresh there now in Castlebar yesterday. You picked the right game. Whatever about the wrong day to be busy, you picked the right game to be at yesterday, but it looks like things.
Yeah, it was a good game.
Disappointing that wasn't on telly now, I would have... GA Plus was on a bit of a break the weekend, was it?
I'm here in GA Plus as we speak.
Arrest
in Croker. I'm in Croker here. You weren't happy with the guys that are on telly, Jimmy. Come on, tell us what you were putting on the WhatsApp.
I was strapped in because TG Cahir actually had up, do you know, on the information screen about what's on. It goes live coverage of a game of National League. So it like left a bit of surprise there. And you know, my Irish isn't great. It wasn't until I saw the teams come out that I knew who was playing.
Did you not realise it was Ballyshannon? Like, you're not looking at the ground. Like,
nah, my job.
You had to wait until... Okay.
I would like to see the Mayo game now, because I'm enjoying watching Mayo at the moment. More than most teams, so that would have been a nice game. But
I think I'll have to get you boys this book, An Irish Word a Day by Hector O'Hugh-Cogan. 365 ways to speak Irish every day, because the two you could do with brushing up on your Gaeilge. Let's see what the...
Jimmy,
when our kids get into primary school, we'd be fluent again. Like, we'll be doing all that crap in a couple of years. We've loads of time. Yeah. No rush on this stuff, Tom.
James, you were keeping an eye on proceedings in Ballyshannon. I was in Castlebar. A couple of interesting Armagh spectators. There was a Porky Pig. Was there? Did you just spot Porky Pig?
From the piggery. Must have been very warm, like.
Yeah, and he actually
on for the whole game.
He thinks so. Yeah, he could see feck all anyway. He was telling me, but big fans of the pod. So fair play to the lads. That was a bit of a laugh yesterday, and Castlebar was good fun. We'll get to that in a minute. Paddy, Saturday night, you were keeping an eye on Kildare against Meath, and I want to start there because the top of Division 2 has become so interesting because Derry. Oh, they trounced Cork up in Celtic Park. Tyrone.
20 points.
Yeah.
20 points. And Cork 4-4. That is one of the stories from the weekend, surely. It was only 4 points in at half time as well. Like, Jesus.
And you know what?
I think it's Cork's second biggest defeat in like 40, 50 years or something. One, he said Kerry beat them in 2002 by 22. just to get that fact in there. Just
there you go. They always bring it back to something to do with Kerry. But for Derry, 15 months they couldn't win a game, and they've won four on the spin now. So it's some turnaround from Kieran Meehan and those players. Well, 22 is always the best, lads. We always say it's always the most riding on it, and it looks like it's going to be that way again. At
but
the top
20
and the bottom
is an unmerciful dusting.
I watched it back this morning.
And I think Cork, Tommy, they're going on a warm weather training camp this week.
They're gone this morning to Portugal.
Okay.
Mightn't be the worst timer for that, lads. They've Kildare at home next. And that's, if they get to 10 points, they'd be favourites against Kildare. We'll get to Kildare now in a minute.
That's the problem, Paddy.
But their point difference is in serious trouble after the weekend.
Yeah.
But like, they've beaten Meath.
Yeah, but Paddy, if more than two teams there are locked level, it's points difference. You got to get this right, man, when you're on
weather
presenting.
No, I don't. It's not my job anymore. I'm just Ron Burgundy. Just read what's on the script. It's up to the pundits to figure it out. There's still loads to go.
I know you're saying it might be the perfect time or whatever, but
I don't know.
You're still going and it's hanging over you.
Yeah.
And the management might be a bit, you know, pissed off about the performance. You've just done a massive trek all the way up to Derry and down. Feeling isn't great. Then on the plane, I think it would hang over them for a few days.
It was
it'll take good management to get them back up and running, a bit of enthusiasm, you know, just to take their mind off it, because that's a confidence denter.
But watch a bit of it as well then, like they've a week to go through this. Is it worse if that's hanging over them and they're not together until Tuesday night and they're going out on the pitch, so they might only get 10 or 15 minutes to talk about this? Like, they've a week to address. Like, it's not, they're still top of the division. It's a bad defeat, but if you say to John Cleary in January before the leagues kick off, you know, you're going to be sitting pretty after five rounds. You're top.
They're not. They're third.
8 points.
Yeah, but so are Meade and so are Derry, and score difference. They're minus seven.
All on, Jesus Christ, man. They're all on 8 points.
Hey,
Jesus,
I'm just giving you the facts.
And alphabetical order. Okay. So that's all that matters.
Let's just get into this, right? Because it is a good game of football, and Cork had a win with them. Stephen Sherlock kicks a two-pointer from 55 metres after 2 minutes of the game. He kicks another one with the outside of the right boot from about 50 a couple of minutes later. So Cork have a win. But just before half-time, Paddy, there's this 1-3 burst from Lachlan Murray, really, who kind of drives it. Like, a brilliant 1-2 from him. Conor Glass put him through and he buried his goal. Great to see, fellas, taking those goals and the chances are on. And Derry had missed a couple of goal chances beforehand. So having the wind, Cork find themselves 4 points down at the break. They get the first point of the second half. And then we see a power drive from Derry where they knock off, I think, 10 points. I think it's 8 scores and a two-pointer, maybe 9 scores and a two-pointer. And, you know, Cork don't get a response in there. And the game is over. Like, they're 14 points down with 15 minutes to play, 20 minutes to play. So it's amazing how a game can get away from you nowadays, James.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, Derry have exceptional forward players. It's just a matter of them playing with that freedom and with that... not with that risk, when I say that again, but just kind of with more abandon. And if there is anyone who does epitomize that, it is Lachlan Murray. And he's had his injuries. I think it was osteopubis, which can be a debilitating, horrible injury.
It's an awkward one, isn't it?
You know, it drains your pace, your turning, your kicking. It attacks all his primary attributes were attacked in that injury. But like the way he just takes the ball, takes men on, can pull the trigger on both sides. And then even for his goal, the way he just confidently finished it, blasted across the keeper. It's, you know, a player like that that can put a burst of pace into the game, or just a burst of quality, similar to Conor O'Donnell, who we always talk about from Donegal, very kind of similar, that when they get the ball in their hands, they can really do something with it. And it just might spark Derry. And they've had a couple of great results now after losing the first round of the league, fair enough. They've had a couple of great results and things are looking up. I think it's all about their forward play. All about their forward play. If that's right, they're a real threat.
Isn't he a lovely contrast to McGuigan as well? Like, that McGuigan is the main man and will be the main man going forward, but he's a different style to Lachlan Murray. Murray asks very different questions. McGuigan's very cerebral, finds the spaces, his leadership, obviously unbelievable accuracy. Lachlan Murray is a different type of forward for a defence to try and deal with. And they complement each other very well. So, but for Kieran Meehan, I thought the run they've been on, and they were probably unlucky. We spoke with this lots during last season's championship. They couldn't get a win. They couldn't get a result, but they were losing by a point or two. They weren't getting the breaks.
Yeah.
And then they lose to Meath on the opening night. And I said it. I thought it was between Tyrone and Derry. Tyrone would be kind of the stronger team throughout Division 2. They're obviously, that's not the case. But Derry, over the last four rounds, and that performance, that was just, it was the one result that just jumped out. You expect teams to have dips in performances because it's so attritional, playing week on week on week. But for Derry to do that to a Cork team that had been so, playing so well so far, it was a standout performance, and they're in a good spot.
Awesome. Yeah. Plus 46 on the score difference. Meade are plus 18. Cork are now minus 7, and Cork had been in such a good position before the weekend. Like Colin McCallan again had a very good start to the game. He's powerful around the middle. We know how good their defenders are. Cork are off now in that warm weather training camp, and when they come back, they're playing Kildare. Kildare are a team that we spoke about early in the league. They got a really nice bounce early doors, but we were talking about the fact that Brian Flanagan had blooded so many young fellas. And I think on Saturday night, Paddy, you had a close eye on this one. What did you make of it? Because they're just that bit further along than Kildare at the minute.
Correct. My main takeaway from it was, if you look, Meade won the Celtic Cup a couple of years ago and got the bounce and the development from that, and what Robbie Brennan has been building. Kildare obviously won it last year, promoted from Division 3. I get the sense Brian Flanagan is doing the right thing, obviously trying to bring through a whole new generation of players. But with younger players, you're going to get inconsistent performances, and they're playing at an intensity which, okay, having success either with club or under 20s and things like that, when you're going into the Allianz Leagues and you're playing week on week on week in a division where you're against top teams, you're going to get performances where you're not going to get consistent excellence across all seven rounds of the league. And I thought on Saturday night, it just, Kildare looked a bit flat. They got the positive start, going up to Alma and getting a result, then beating Offaly. Maybe that defeat to Derry, particularly when Derry went down to 40 men, just put a bit of a spoke in the wheel in terms of their momentum. And you worry for them now after Saturday night as well. At home, that's a big game in the context of the Leinster Championship. There's obviously going to be a lot of focus on the Leinster Championship this season. And they were second best throughout. They just looked like a team who were maybe a bit flat, and also just, like, I got to say, Meade kind of bullied them. I was very, very impressed with Meade, I have to say, in terms of their athleticism, particularly second half. They got bodies back, set up their defensive shape, and Kildare just didn't have an answer. I know it's tough, really tough conditions in Newbridge on Saturday night.
Yeah.
But Meade would turn them over at will, and they just break the athleticism and power of Robbie Brennan's guys, and the confidence. They're just a team that are further down the tracks than where Kildare are at.
Yeah.
You know? Robbie... And the worry for Kildare is they're right in a relegation battle now, and they go to Cork next. You're going to expect a reaction from Cork. But Meade, for Meade, I have to say, very, very impressed with their power and their athleticism, and getting back on track after their defeat to Cork.
Yeah, you'd imagine Kildare are probably going to need a result somewhere, because they're down around the bottom there. Offaly on 0 points, Cavan on 2 after their win, and Kildare on 3 points. So you have Kildare up against Cork, as you mentioned, away from home. That'll be in Páirc Uaireann. And then Kildare are home to Louth in their last game. Offaly play Cavan in the next round. And then it's Derry up against Cavan in round 7. Derry will be chasing promotion. And Offaly up against Meade, who'll be chasing promotion. So, you know, it's all the player for at the bottom of Division 2. Robbie Brennan said he was going back to this.
One thing on it, Tommy, just...
Yeah, yeah.
Newbridge, they've done an amazing job on that stadium. You've been in it a few times.
Yeah.
It obviously needed a lot of work, a brilliant stand and dressing rooms and stuff. The pitch is in serious bother.
Yeah, it is.
It really?
Yeah, it is. It has been.
Jimmy, it's, now, the conditions, again, didn't help, and I'm conscious it's January, February, weather's been bad, but the pitch...
The stand side in particular, yeah.
Really bad. And you look at what the Rossies have done with the Hyde, or even Mayo, Castlebar wouldn't traditionally not have been a great pitch, and they've made them some of the best surfaces in the country. I think that's the next stage for Kildare. They need to sort that pitch out, because it's not doing justice to the work they've done around the stadium. And Saturday night was just such prime time telly. Everyone's watching it, and it just looked nearly unplayable at times.
Yeah, it wasn't great. Can I linger on Meade for a minute, if you'll bear with me? Robbie Brennan said he wanted to get back to basics, the team, after they, you know, fell short against Cork the last day out. Sean Rafferty returning was a big one. So they had their kind of first choice, you could say, back six, and Sean Brennan in goal has been very good. They brought in Jack O'Connor as well, who would have played well in the Tailteann Cup team, went off to Australia and kicked 4 points the last day. Jordan Morris, though, caught the eye again. You know, Jordan Morris last year against Galway, like the hop dummy. I remember listening to Eamon McGee before Meade played Donegal in that All-Ireland semi-final, raving about Morris's like beautiful hop dummy, and just imagining...
That was a stitch-up, Tommy. He was just trying to stitch him up there. Like,
just imagining like the kind of the work that the Donegal defenders would have been doing on him ahead of the next game. You mentioned Lachlan Murray earlier on. Murray has this kind of signature score on the right-hand side as well. But sometimes it's a fisted point, but he'll kick them over from that tight angle as well. And I'm just wondering, because... Keane McHale at the weekend, he scored two goals now this season for Mayo in his three appearances, took his goal beautifully well, and we asked him about it afterwards, like, you know, you're right in front of the goalkeeper, but what's going through your head? Because he has this lovely little step inside, and I just thought it was such a good answer. He goes, well, they know I'm left-footed, like, and he has this in his head that they know he's left-footed, so he sells that little dummy to come back inside onto his right foot. How much work do forwards do on, because I'm thinking of Morris, I'm thinking of Murray, I'm thinking of McHale, these fellas that are going to be targeted by defenders when they're coming up against them, and the more they kind of establish themselves, the more they'll find his heat. How much do forwards do work on maybe adding that bit more to their game so that when a defender tries to shut them down, they have an extra little bit in the back pocket to get away from them, James?
Well, when you're left-legged, I can safely say from the age of 10, the sideline is going to be shouting, he's left, he's left-legged. And there's nobody shouting that about a fella's right if he's right-legged. They're only shouting at the left-legged player. So when you can dummy the left and come back on the right, it's one of the greatest feelings in GAA to be able to do that. But that's the biggest bang for your buck as a corner forward, I think, having 2 feet, because it eliminates you getting blocked down. It means you can go both sides. It stops the defender from getting too tight because they don't know which way you're going to go. It, like, in terms of bang for your buck, for a skill that will make you instantly better, if you can pull the trigger with both legs, it's the number one. And that's interesting that McHale said that, because it was very clever. You know, he had that little dummy because he swung over a couple of lovely ones with the left, from the left, you know. So it's so obvious when a fella's left footed. I don't know what it is. Is it because we're just so used to seeing right legged players? It's so obvious when a fella's two left. You have to have that right leg to be able to bring it back on. And as a corner forward, you just need it. You just need to have the other side to be able to go back on.
Yeah, Paddy, Morris sells a lovely dummy for the goal. There's a nice direct goal, and he gets away with it. I think the ball is tackled out of his hands and he knocks it in. But, you know, for Jordan Morris to bring his game, to continue to bring his game up levels, like, what do you think he needs to do? Because what I see from him is he has some of these beautiful little skills where he can just bounce a ball and buy himself a couple of yards, or do a little hop dummy past the fella and just skin him. Like, can you see Jordan Morris going to another level?
Yeah, well, I think he already has over the last 12 to 18 months as well. He obviously had injury trouble as well. It was harder when he first came onto the scene as well, because the Meade setup wasn't in as good a place as it is now. So there's always that element as well. Like, there's brilliant forwards, but maybe their team is not dominating games and they're not getting as many possessions as they might. You look at someone like Rob Finnerty, seems to have gone to the next level over the last couple of seasons. That's because Galway have become one of the top teams in the country as well. But with Jordan Morris, he's on the right track. Of course he is. Every time you see him, he has that. The rules help, obviously. The rules reward brave attack and play, creates that little bit more space for forwards. And Jordan Morris is a bit of an old school corner forward, whereas maybe in the rules, when there's 12 or 13 bodies around, he mightn't have been as effective. He wants to take his man on every single time. He gets the ball, his first thing is like, I'm going to square this guy up and I'm going to go at him. No matter who it is, whether it's Brendan McCall or any of these top defenders, he's backing himself. So he has the backing of his manager. We spoke about Robbie Brennan and the atmosphere in that Meade team. He has the confidence himself of having done this. You know, he was one of the standout forwards. He had massive days last season in the championship. And that gives you, as a player, confidence. To go, I actually belong and I can play at this level. And I think he's on the right track. I think he injury free, which is the key for any player, but particularly for someone like Jordan Morris, who's had knocks and niggles, if he gets a full run at the summer, Meade, you feel, are going to have a big impact on the championship. There's going to be a focus on them, whether it's trying to win the Leinster Championship or maybe get to All-Ireland quarter semi-finals. He's going to be one of the key guys, along with Matthew Costello. But the way he plays the game, the environment that the Meade team have created, this like, go and play, go and, I hate that phrase, express yourself, but Robbie Brennan is telling them, go and do what you want, Jordan. That's a great position for forward to be in. And you can see it in his play. He's going to take you on and he's going to pull the trigger. And that is rewarded in these rules. And I think the sky's the limit for that fella.
I agree, Paddy. And he's actually the style of player that I'd love to see more of. I think even...
Everyone wants to see that, don't you? But that's what you want to see, these type of guys.
Yeah, but even... I'd love to see even Kerry do this more. It's those fellas who inject, who want to sprint all the time. Just sprint to receive the ball. If you don't get it, sprint the other way and get it. It turns the defence upside down and inside out. And then when you get it, you're sprinting, taking your man on again. The chance of you being fouled are so much higher. The chances of you slipping through a tackle are so much higher. But I think that we're still guilty of playing the old rules and that we're kind of going around a 70% pace. So it's those fellas that inject that.
Are you talking about attacking aggression here? Is that what you boys are talking about?
Intent, I'd say. If you're not confident in yourself, where you're kind of not sure your place, or you're kind of looking over your shoulder, or the team isn't going that well, you'll play safer. You kind of, I'm going to come on the loop a bit more, I'm going to pop this thing off. But if you're totally confident in yourself, you're like a Lachlan Murray or you're like a Jordan Morris, where it's like, there's no doubt. When I get the ball, my last resort is to turn around and go back. When I get it in my hand, I'm taking my man on. And that just asks, if you're a cornerback, that's a really tough player to deal with. You know, Jesus Christ, this fella, I need to be on. If I'm a cornerback, I mean, the corner forward runs out and collects the ball, and I know he's not arse taking me on, and he's going to come out and pop it around the arc. I could nearly still play cornerback. Yeah. you're not challenging your opponent, whereas a player like Jordan Morris or Lachlan Murray or the other players who come across, but those two in particular from the weekend, they're hell to mark because everything's at 100 miles an hour because they're so confident and they have license to take you out.
Yeah, that's the top of Division 2, and they're some of the forwards that have been catching the eye the weekend. Kieran Downey, I thought his goal was nice, loud against Cavan as well. Maybe some very suspect nice defending James, but three kick passes. Shocking. You're always a fan of that. It was McDonald to Mulroy to Burns to Downey off the deck to build on his beautiful goal where he lobbed Morgan last week.
Well, it was, I think Mulroy's pass makes it because he doesn't necessarily have to give that pass. You know, he's in space. He can carry it, slow the attack down. He's the one who makes the killer pass really outside of the boot. Sticks it to the man's chest. It's. I mean, I wouldn't even call it defending, realistically. If you were doing a drill with no marking in training, it would have come off the same. Like, whatever, Cavan were just caught wide open, but...
Yeah.
It's great to see the kick passing. It is great to see the kick passing.
Give the forwards a bit of credit here.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
I'd love to do that, but this defending was so bad. It was just non-existent.
So we've a two-week break to the next round of fixtures across the board in Gaelic football. So Cork, Kildare, Meade, Tyrone, Louth, Derry and Offaly, Cavan is the next round in Division 2. So that's a massively important division there. Let's get to the top of Division 4 because it's absolutely crazy at the minute. I'm just looking here, right? Antrim have dragged themselves up to 4 points. They bet Wicklow at the weekend, so they put Manners on Wicklow's promotion charge. Longford defeated Carlow, who were flying high. The curse of the GA Plus View show, Paddy. Joe Murphy comes on and then they lose.
Joe was flying at 4 from 4. I hit them nearly as dark horses to win the Leinster Championship and then they go out and lose the next day to Longford. So
Longford 119. Surprising. Carlow 114, so Longford are up to second in the table. Mike Solan's side there moving really nicely. And then Tipperary gave Leitrim a good clip in 118 to 8 points. And London defeated Waterford 316 to 212. So just to give you a rundown on the table, it's Carlow 8 points, Longford 7, Tipperary 6, Wicklow 6. And I would say London are just about still in the mix there on 5 points. And next round of fixtures in Division 2 is Carlow against London, Waterford against Antrim, Leitrim against Longford, and a very important game between Wicklow and Tipperary. And in Division 3, down 5 from 5, Are they the only team in the country that are have a 100% record?
Correct.
Yes, yeah, they are. So Down got the better for Man at the weekend, 118 to 115. I saw some of Oran Murdoch's interventions at the weekend, some massive scores again. That man is in fine form going into the Ulster Championship game against Donegal. Leash with a big win against Westmead. So kind of slowing down Mark McHugh and the Westmead promotion charge there. 316 to 113. Limerick 112, Clare 121. Clare go into Rakhil and put up a big score on Limerick, who I know had a lot of injuries at the weekend. But Clare, they've needed that. They've needed that kind of confidence boost, I would say. And Owen Cleary and Mark McInerney racked up big scores there at the weekend. So, and then on Sunday, Wexford getting their season back on track. 16 points to 171 against Sligo. So just to give you the rundown on the chase for the second promotion spot in Division 3. So Down are on 10 points, but Wexford, Clare and Westmead are all on 6 points. Leash are on 5, Sligo are on 4. And Limerick, are they out of it on 3 points? Probably. They're probably in the relegation battle more than anything, but that's going to be a very interesting division. And the next game is Fermanagh up against Leash, Clare up against Wexford, Sligo against Down, and a pretty tasty Westmead tie against Limerick. Well, lads, we're going to take a quick break on the football pod, and we're going to come back looking at Division 1 and some of the happenings from this weekend's action. You're very welcome back to the football pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. Where do you want to start, boys? I was in Castlebar. I think we can come back to that in a minute. Do you want to go somewhere else in Division 1?
Paddy? I want to go. Oh, yeah. Go to Dubs.
No, we're
back. We are back. Cancel everything. Dubs are back. Yes. No, I'll start start anywhere, lads. I don't mind the money mess.
Go on. No, go on.
Go on. I want to know about the Dubs anyway.
Marty Morrissey on his highlights. I was covering another game at the time, so I saw Morris Brosnan tweet. He was covering the game at the Hyde for the Examiner that Roscommon missed their first 10 shots on goal. Marty Morrissey said on commentary last night, 24 minutes and 23 seconds before Rob Heenahan put the ball over the bar for the Rossies. At that stage, it was Dublin 113. Roscommon no score. Paddy Andrews, why are ye back?
I say in jest. It was the best Dublin performance of Ger Brennan's reign, which was a positive. They've had a tough couple of weeks, obviously. That Kerry game and the manner of that defeat, obviously, was tough going. What it does in the short term is it gives them a fighting chance to stay up. You look, the Rossies are probably safe. We're going into the weekend, they're maybe dark horses to get to a league final, but that kind of came to a bit of a halt. Whereas Dublin needed to pick up points. Monaghan, 0 from 5, look like they're gone. But for Dublin to get that win, the biggest plus, they scored 121 and they scored 5 2-pointers.
Yeah.
Which is, we spoke at length about this after.
And it wasn't just Conn kicking them too. That was the big one.
No, well, missing Conn was fine. That's maybe a worry long term for Dublin that, you know, they have to have that guy on the pitch and injuries. This just happens when players start getting a lot of miles on the clock. They pick up knocks and niggles, you know, get back as quick. But for Ger Brennan to go in there, there's one, we want to win and pick up a result just for, you know, give us a chance to stay in the division. They play our man next in Croker.
And that's the big one.
Kind of nearly a head-to-head to stay up. But hitting 121 and hitting 5 2-pointers. So just way more accurate in front of the post. I don't know what it was, whether it was maybe Conn wasn't there, guys maybe mentally said, okay, we need to take this on. But they were just more accurate and there was more intent in their attack and play. It was like chalk and cheese from what we've seen against Kerry, which was a major plus. The other big plus in goal, Hugh O'Sullivan had another very, very good game.
He's been impressive. So
it really has, yeah. To be fair to him, young Ballyboden guy. And that's one of the positions Dublin need to find. There's a thing, okay, we want to win games and try and stay in Division 1. Like Kieran Kilkenny gets my match. We know what Kieran Kilkenny can do. The success of Ger Brennan's reign with Dublin is going to be on, okay, can we stay in Division 1? That's a plus. But can we find 4 or 5 of these guys who are, they don't need to be world beaters now, but they definitely show potential to be able to play. And Hugh Sullivan is one of them. Luke Brannock, again, anytime I see that guy, he just offers something a bit different than the forward line. That's what Dublin need to do. And like I say, yesterday was their best performance. Roscommon were poor, obviously. They weren't great. But if you look at Dublin, to score 121, they only conceded 7 points against the Rossies. And obviously, credit where it's due, Derek Craig and Merton, these guys have been outstanding to date. I just thought it was a lot of positive ticks for Ger Brennan, which we hadn't really seen over the first 4 rounds. It's
not doesn't mean Dublin are back by any means. They have an even bigger test in Croker against their Armagh team, which I am amazed Armagh are in a relegation battle. But that's I feel like that's a step up from another Rossies were going well, but Armagh next. But Dublin have given themselves a chance.
We'll get to Armagh in a minute, James, but that is that's the exact kind of confidence boost that Dublin needed. And the 5 2-point scorers were Bugler, Scully with the first one, Paddy Small, Owen Kennedy, who's in his first league campaign, and Hugh O'Sullivan off the deck, which they need too. They need a long-range free-taker off the deck as well.
Yes,
100%. They've been struggling for one. James, that is the right kind of confidence boost, or are you getting excited about the Dubs and Roscommon on a Sunday in round five?
I did think that Roscommon, the noise coming out of Roscommon was getting a little bit...
I don't know if they were getting carried away.
I didn't say that, Tommy. You put words in my mouth. All I said was that...
kind of what you were getting at there.
How do I word this differently now?
What were you going to say?
Rephrase that.
I think that they definitely saw the Dubs coming and were like, today's our day to beat these fellas. You know, like, and... I actually nearly felt that myself. I was like, this is a chance for Roscommon to really have a statement win. And, you know, these wins don't come around that often where you take down a really big side, and it is phenomenal for the group and for the players, for the management, for the physios, the doctors, the everyone. If you can beat a Dublin like that, it really does fuel the group. So I think it was a chance missed for them. I think they didn't get going at all at the start of the game. Obviously, taking 24 minutes to score was too long, gave themselves too much to do. But I still think that they're on the right track. Obviously, they have some unbelievable quality up front. It didn't get motoring.
I get what you're saying.
Missed for them. But I think did you hear the Spurs boss actually? He said a very good thing.
Igor Tudor.
Tudor.
He goes, we have to.
He's not doing a lot on the pitch though, Jimmy.
I know. He goes, we have to play like the smaller team every week. Like, we have to be the ones who outwork everyone. And I think sometimes when you think you're going really well is when you take the eye off the ball and that in that department a tiny bit.
Can I ask you?
When Dublin go working, they can outwork anyone. They are incredible at getting to a high level of intensity and work rate. So I think that maybe that was a little factor as well.
Either one of you can pick this one up, right? And I get where you're coming from with that. But they also had to reintegrate the St. Bridget's players. And I don't know, do you have this experience? Can I just make this point? I don't know, do you have this experience of you have a settled team in the league or a settled team that's going well. They bring back Conor Carroll and goals. And these are all quality players, but they haven't been playing league football in the last couple of weeks. Conor Hand, Rory Fallon, Shane Canaan and Ben O'Carroll are on the bench. There's a couple of other changes too. I'm just wondering, did the rhythm get thrown a little bit? Did they take this as an opportunity, without taking the Dubs for granted, to reintegrate their players? Because they have to do that before the Connacht Championship.
Yeah, this narrative was even before the Dublin game. This was last weekend when they beat Armagh. Like, I don't like that narrative of... I get the sense, the Bridget's lads come back, that's going to mess things up. You have to, I don't know, is there something maybe internally in Roscommon where the Bridget's aren't very popular and there's a sense maybe that some of these players shouldn't be in or out of the team. Mark Dowd has to bring these guys back in.
Of course,
at some point. You know, they're a brilliant club team. You have some outstanding players there. Of course you have to integrate them back into the group. I thought that narrative even before the Dublin game, and now that they didn't play well, it's like, so what do you do with the players? Just don't bring them back in.
I'm not questioning that, but I'm just saying, is it sort of a given that it throws the team or throws it a little bit, the whole momentum they've had? I don't know.
No, I think it's fair to assume some of these guys are going to come straight back into the team. No more so Jack O'Connor, but Kerry and the Dingle lads.
Yes.
These are brilliant players. You have to bring them in at some point. And you can't be thinking nearly like, that's thinking like a fan. Oh, we're on this great run. We don't want to jinx it. Like, coaches can't think like that, or teams can't think like that.
No.
So bringing the guys back in, it just wasn't a good performance from Roscommon. But I don't think I heard that narrative around, really, from Roscommon supporters going, like, these guys are going to curse us if they come back in.
They've got a trip to New York in early April, and then the winners play the winners of Mayo and London. So will we get to Castlebar? Have you any questions from my trip to Castlebar?
One thing before, because Jimmy, you mentioned it there around the team and coaches. The one big positive for Jer Brennan, outside of the result, obviously, and maybe a couple of these younger players coming in, if you're a new coach, and we've spoken about this on numerous shows over numerous seasons, you're trying to bring in new standards, new styles of play, maybe giving players different opportunities. You're trying to create your own, put your own stamp on a team. You only have a finite period of time to do that. And if you come in and you're trying to change all these things and results are going down the drain, each one of those, your credibility to implement change drops week on week on week. So you can't underestimate the value of, and even if Dublin still get relegated, for that group to win that game yesterday so convincingly, it gives credibility and to all the changes we're trying to make. Here's the standards. This is what we're trying to do. This is why we're trying to change, whether it's kickouts or players or two-point shooters or moving the ball. There's a point where results start to need to kind of back that up a bit. And that's why don't underestimate the importance of if Dublin go to the Hyde yesterday and get whopped and they're all but relegated, and Jared Brennan goes to training on Tuesday night going, we're still going to keep trying working on these things. It's just natural for players to be thinking, that ain't working. Mm-hmm. So that was a big plus for the change you're trying to implement. You need results to back it up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good point. Casper, do you have any questions for me? I covered this game for Off the Ball yesterday. I spoke to Kieran McGeaney and Andy Moore and Keane McHale afterwards. Got to see young Kobe McDonald coming off the bench with the game in the melting pot. Not the game wasn't over like it may have been the week beforehand. Lads, the place lit up when he came on as well. An interesting game of football. You mentioned Arha being in a relegation battle. Yes, they are. They have not been bad by any means. They were the better team for a lot of yesterday. But Mayo,
they have two horrible fixtures as well. They have Dublin Cruachan and Kerry at home. But they still haven't scored a goal against Kerry.
Was there goal chances yesterday that they should have taken, Tommy, or
Darren McMullen?
Ross McQuillan, Tommy.
In second half.
A brilliant player.
Took his
game
point.
In the melting pot. Middle of the goals. Find a way to get a goal in that situation. You win the game. It does come down to those small things, in my opinion.
Yeah, he took
what
his point.
What minute of the game was that? What minute of the game was that?
I'll tell you, if you give me 30 seconds, I'll tell you. I have my notes here. But they had two big, Rob Henley made two big goal chances, or big saves in the first half as well. Darren McMullen was one of them. Save. Yeah, and then the other one was Connerty, was it?
He's Henley, isn't he? Yeah. Henley is having...
Jarley O'Burns was the second one. Yeah, and then the Ross McQuillan point arrived in the 58th minute. 59 minutes. Yeah. So 10 minutes.
You were talking to Beghini afterwards, Tommy. Like he's great value. What did he say? He's like, we're flying it. We just can't kick the effing ball over the bar or under the bar. I think more importantly,
He had another line as well. He had another line to start.
He's not that worried, is he? I don't think he's that worried, and I don't think he should be.
Same Shukra, different bucket was the other line at the start as well. Is he worried? I think he's just finding himself repeating the same things after every game, and I think we're seeing a little bit of him. Whoever's clicking that pen. Stop, James O'Donnell. Like you're like a bull boy at the back of the class.
It's not me.
He's repeating himself, I think, every week because it's the same issues we're seeing. And I think with Armagh at the minute, let's not forget about it. There's a savage injury crisis is probably a big word, but they're missing a lot of very important players. There's been a lot of retirements and fellas on the move. They've only used, I was crunching the numbers for the game, 22 players in their league campaign so far. Mayo have used 30. Like Mayo were 4 wins from 5. They've won. They've played. Three games away from home. They've used 30 players across the league so far and have had a really good spread. And Andy Moran is clearly making changes every game. Kieran McGeaney is making just 2 subs. Fergal O'Brien's coming on with 10 minutes to go. And then Ethan Rafferty is taking off his number 16 jersey and throwing on the number 28 to come on as a 2-point threat late on. So Armagh just don't seem to have the numbers to make many changes. So I don't know. I think there's a little bit of McGeaney is just hoping that these small margins might go his way in the last two rounds, but they're going to have to beat Dublin the next day, you'd have to say.
That's kind of the shootout, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
You would feel.
But they've scored 22 points, and which was, for what they do, is actually excellent scoring. But I think they can work smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you mean? Defensively or attacking?
No, in attack. In attack.
Attackingly,
in
attack. Attacking wise.
Attackingly. Attackingly? Is that a word?
It's been a long weekend.
There's a lot of work in the 22 points they get.
Yes.
And you're just thinking, if they can just be clever around the goals, and maybe it's a case that of their missing the Donaghy effect, maybe he'd do a bit of work around that. I don't know. Again, that's completely off the top of my head. I have no proof of that at all. They're probably doing great stuff in front of the goals, but like if I was them, that's what I would be doing for a couple of weeks. Try and get up to 3.19 instead of 22. I mean, the difference in that, it would be
you have to take the
incredible.
Argument, Jimmy.
But hey, his
it's
argument
is such a talking point.
But McGeaney's argument is
month.
They're missing the chances.
Like every
they're going for them. They're going for them. They're,
no,
they're,
I'm not saying they're not going for them. And again, I think this is it's not that they're not going for them, but you still need to be doing the right things in front of the goals.
Yeah.
Like, look at the way Kobe's goal last week, where he just pulled the trigger, bang across the keeper out of his reach. Conor O'Donnell's goal this week, the same, running at an angle, bang across the keeper. Clifford's goal this week, when he was running through, he sent Begin across him and just went
passing
near post.
The ball into the net. Like, yeah,
pass the ball into the net. There's got to be some little things that they're not doing. Maybe they're looking for the pass, they're kind of delaying it. Even in the Galway Donegal game, was it Sean McDonough was through on goal and he delays the pass at the end?
Yeah.
Just mistimes the pass and the ball hits the floor, they end up losing the chance. It's tiny, tiny margins in front of the goals, but it needs unbelievable repetition to try and get it right. And they're just
and is that training ground
stuff?
They
could be.
Oh, yeah,
I think
it is
so.
Training.
I think it's the only place to fix it.
I'd be amazed if they're not doing that.
Yeah,
I would say
it's not paying off yet. Anyway,
yeah, like I'd have a fear from a Dublin perspective of playing like Armagh and Croker talk about a place that's going to suit their power and their athleticism. I can't believe they're in a relegation battle. I haven't watched
they're not that bad.
Games.
Yeah.
No, they're not
they're
bad
brilliant.
At all.
They're brilliant too.
I have these. We said this a couple of weeks ago. With these in like the top four for the All-Ireland. Mm-hmm. So I do get maybe they're a little bit light in terms of depth. I think they're doing a hell of a lot right. They just haven't got that 70-minute performance. I don't think any team has really. But they're being pipped at the post in a couple of games. I would be amazed if they're not working on their goal scoring and that finishing, because it's so glaringly obvious. McGeaney's addressed them nearly every game after the league. It is just, you have to work on it. One, it doesn't just come. You know, remember, it was 2 years ago, Kerry hadn't scored a goal through the championship, and people were asking Jack O'Connor, and he's like, just trust it. With the work, it'll come. And I get the sense with McGeaney, their players are so good. I do agree with Jimmy. They do a hell of a lot of work. They play a nutritional style of up and down the pitch. It's brilliant to watch. But they haven't scored a goal in their five games.
Yeah.
It will come eventually. And if it comes in Croker the next day, this could turn very quickly for them. But
it could. Absolutely. Mm. Just on Mayo, right. I've seen Mayo and Armagh a couple times this year. Sam Callanan has had a bloody brilliant league and a couple of brilliant turnovers yesterday in the middle of the game. Jordan Flynn, I would say, arguably has been their player of the league so far.
Yeah,
he's in midfield. He's involved in everything. 1-12 yesterday, a brilliant goal off the deck, a brilliant two-pointer when they weren't really motoring well. Jack Kearney again had a big influence. Am I allowed to get into the fact that Kobe McDonald was better this week than he was last week? He was.
Do you know what? It's not just him. And I know Andy is kind of, he's outstanding, right? And Andy has his manager's hat on and he's like, well, there's other, like Keane McHale is brilliant.
Darragh Byrne's their top scorer for play. Yeah.
So I know what Andy's trying to do. He's trying to shield Kobe McDonald because everyone wants to talk about him. And he's special. He is absolutely special. But all of a sudden, like the big question mark, so many years, us and everyone else, the man in the streets would say Mayo need guys who could score naturally, and the pressure on Ryan O'Donoghue is too much for where they want to get to. And all of a sudden, if these young kids coming along, not just Kobe, Keane McHale, Barry Byrne, all of a sudden Mayo have serious options of guys who can score and have that like little bit of composure. And yeah, the focus is going to be on this kid. He is that good. Like, he looks,
but he plays with that aggression, that intent.
He's got, you know, he's 18, but his physique, he's like, he's ready to play physically, which is normally like a kid coming through. It's a couple of years, like, you know, Conor McCall up and Donegal.
McCall.
A couple of weeks ago.
We'll get credit for saying McCall, because that's his name.
Oh, okay,
McCall.
But you can see this guy's got to be special as well.
Yeah.
But it might be a bit soon. Kobe McDonald is ready to play now. Mm. You know, it must be exciting for Mayo. I'm sure they are excited.
James, as part of the kick-out strategy, right? So he wins the first line kick-out button.
But
the place lights up, James.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
There's 10,000 in Castlebar. I think even the Armagh fans were on their feet when he got the ball in his hands.
Yeah. Like, I always say it about a fella who can fetch the ball like that. It's a skill. It's such a worthwhile skill. I never had it. The way he went into the game there and just got up in the middle of a load of big fellas and plucked it from underneath them. It says a great sign of a fella's gut and his ability. And the fact he can move as well. For one of his points, he was jinking in and out of fellas and threw it over with the left.
Yeah.
I don't want to get carried away, but
Get carried away, Drew. Come on, give Mayo there. Get behind them.
Oh, if they keep these fellas running, I do think, like, I'm not saying that Mayo are going to win the All-Ireland this year at all. I think, you need a couple of years around this level to know the ins and outs. You need to play Donegal a few times to realise what they're at. You need to play Tyrone, you know, the dark arts. You need to play the Dubs and Kerry and see what they're doing. You need lots of different experiences, especially to win the championship now when you've so many games. So I don't know where they're ready this year. I would say no. Okay. But the quality they have coming through. Imagine the lift off the shoulders that Ryan Runhu and Aidan O'Shea
feel. Scorers, Jimmy, isn't it? That they need it, scorers.
Yeah. Ryan Runhu must have been sitting in the dressing room last year, right, for every game going, I need to score about 12 points here for us to have a chance to win.
Yeah.
No, he's just thinking... Yeah. And, do my job. I mean, Ryan, what a weight off the shoulders that is.
For sure. And Ryan kicked 3 points yesterday and he dropped a couple short, but he set up the goal for Cian McHale and he was involved in a couple of others. He was setting up the boys around them too. Lads, because we've got to go.
Paddy, who's the last player that's come through like Kobe, where there's natural... Is it Cliff?
Clifford.
Is it Cliffy?
It is.
What's that, 7 years ago?
One of, what about the Dubs? What about Con came through like that, no?
Con was before Cliffy.
Con
was
like, so Clifford, Con
was his breakout year.
Yeah.
There was so much happening in Dublin at the time as well. Do you know? Whereas I think the Mayo scene has been so quiet. Mm. And then there's this. It's like,
But I think the excitement has obviously been national the last 2 weeks. They know about this kid, like, for years in Mayo. And, you know, I think there was record numbers at club championship games last year, seemingly, just to watch him in action. And... from what I can tell,
he's embracing it,
he's loving it, and they're not treating him any differently to any other player in that field, only for the fact that they're getting him off the pitch.
Well, the Mayo crowd absolutely worship
Kerry Mayo in 2 weeks time as well. Cliffy versus Colby. Well, I can see the headlines now.
Well, just to warn you, Paddy, there's under 20 championship that week, so I don't think we're going to get that one.
Andy, break it, get him out there. The country wants to see Cliff.
The other bit of news
on the same pitch.
Matty Ruan is a good bit away. Kieran O'Connor and Tommy Conroy trained well on Sunday morning, and we might be seeing them back soon as well from Mayo. James, 60 seconds on goal with Donegal. We'll get into this one the next day. Galway are obviously still in the relegation mix on 4 points. Pat Mogan's late 2-pointer.
Yeah, Donegal rested, you know, rested Rorty, brought him out with Murphy, and who got the equaliser?
Mogan.
Pat Mogan.
Like, those three substitutions, what quality to bring on. I think that Donegal have a really, really strong panel. And I think Galway missed the chance. They had plenty of opportunities to put that game to bed. I thought they were a better team.
Conroy,
I just mentioned the goal chance a couple of times. And again, we're watching on telly. I don't think television does the conditions any justice. You know, it's so hard to play in those games, especially against a Donegal with the level of physicality. But there was a couple of times where a fist pass just took two bounces to get to the player instead of no bounce. You know, it wasn't delivered crisply. I think they could have pulled away. There was one incident in the first half. I think Tierney wins a kick out, wins a Donegal kick out, and they're through on goal. But he just gives the pass and it just kind of trickles into the corner forward and he gets it back and takes a point. But I think if they're sharp and they're really going for it, he kicks that ball and it's a goal. So I think Galway in a relegation battle as well. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. Like, they've been in every single game. The fact they only have 4 points is ridiculous, really. But I think they've got a chance to win that game.
They did. James, if you have to slip away, no problem. Paddy, we might finish with yourself. Anything on Galway Donegal that you want to get stuck into, or the other games?
No, it's surprising again for Pádraig Joyce and that Galway team. They've been involved in some incredible games over the course of the league. Obviously, coming from 12 points down against Kerry to draw it, being 13 points up against the Rossies to lose it, their comeback win up against their Armagh where they looked out of it again, and then yesterday to only come away with a draw. So, again, like Pádraig Joyce, I don't think he's overly concerned. I think, obviously, we've covered at length the maybe more marquee guys they have to come back, and Walsh and Comer and these fellas. But I think he'll be happy how the league has gone so far. For Jim McGuinness and Donegal, rested a couple of the guys yesterday. I think they'll be in the league final. It was I like we said it, and I don't think anything's going to change in the next 2 months. I think both of those teams, they've eyes on the All-Ireland. That's what they're measuring success on. And mm-hmm. I think they're in the top four along with Kerry. And I still have Armagh on that as well, despite maybe the anomaly of where their form is at. But yeah. No, outside of that, I don't think there's anything major from yesterday.
We didn't really get into Kerry and Monaghan. James mentioned Clifford's goal earlier. Paddy Clifford kicks 4 points. Dylan Ganey's back, kicked a point. And Shawnee O'Shea kicked 4 points as well. So, yeah.
Kerry kind of cruise control. It was the same last year, Tommy, yeah. Wasn't it? Just Jack O'Connor just getting players back in the groove of things. And it's not beyond the realms of possibility that they're going to be in the league final. You know, yeah. So they're the team with the least amount to worry about in terms of just get those Dingle guys back in, get the more established guys back up to speed.
And building a bit of depth.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, we're going to catch up again next week. We'll have yourself and James and myself looking ahead to round six, which is a really big round in the football leagues. It's hurling next weekend. You'll be presenting the hurling on Monday next week.
Yeah, tune in for that. Yeah,
well, I'll be at Cork Limerick
on Saturday night is a serious game, to be fair.
I'll be at that, and I think I'm at Clare and Wexford in Division 1B on Sunday for Off the Ball as well. We'll have plenty more on Off the Ball across the week. Paddy Andrews, be good, thanks for today.
Cheers, Tate. Good to chat. Talk as soon. Always. Jimmy's gone back to work. See you later.
We let Jimmy slip away there a minute ago, but thanks for listening in, folks, and we'll talk to you soon.
See y'all.